This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversation podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm so excited for you to be listening with us today. I am here during our season 3 series of interviewing pastors and ministry leaders from Burke Community Church in Northern Virginia. And today I have the exciting opportunity to interview Greg Triplett, who is the pastor of communications at Burke Community Church. And I have to tell you just kind of a personal connection with Greg. So when we had been attending this church maybe a year or so, and for anyone who's not familiar, my husband owns a home remodeling company. And we were in church and Greg was actually teaching that Sunday, and he was talking about a DIY bathroom project at his house and how it had kind of gone dormant and how he needed to come back around to it, but he was kind of stuck and everything. And my husband is listening to this sermon and he's leaning over to me and he says, "I really want to help him." And so I was like, "Well, you should talk to him." And we had never met him on a personal note before. And so my husband, after the service, went down to the front to try to find the pastor who had been teaching, and just approached him and was like, "Hey, I, you know, have a remodeling company and I know you're doing a DIY project, but I'm happy to come over and help you out." And so David went to his house and he and Greg worked together. I was not there, so I cannot attest to exactly how it went, but I think eventually Greg's bathroom got done. So so that's a little bit of a personal connection with Greg here today, but I really don't know about his faith journey or really the behind the scenes of his story. So I'm really excited to learn that today. So Greg, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jessica. And yeah, David was a godsend.
Is your bathroom done?
The bathroom is done. It's been done for a few years. It is doing awesome. We enjoy it thoroughly.
So. Okay, good. I'm glad that the project didn't remain dormant.
Yep. And not only is he very skilled, but he's one of the most positive and encouraging coaches I could ask for as well, too.
That's amazing.
Learned a lot from him.
That's amazing. Well, he's good at it. I know that's for sure. He's actually doing our bathroom right now, like as we speak. I think he's going to work this morning and then coming home this afternoon to continue some work on our bathroom. So I definitely got a really, I pulled the really good straw there with having a home remodeler as a husband.
It works out. About that.
I know, that's exactly. Great. Well, Greg, I'm excited to talk to you about your story and just kind of get behind the scenes a little bit. I'd love for you to tell us about your background and just how, you know, what your background is and then how that led to your own personal faith journey.
Yeah, when I think about my story, I actually start with my parents' story. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, but it was a first generation Christian home. Both my parents grew up going to church, but back in the 50s and 60s, it was mostly the thing that you did on Sundays. It was cultural. They would call it kind of a nominal Christian experience where they went to church, but didn't really understand why or what it was about, who Jesus was or the significance that he makes in somebody's life. And so they grew up around church. But I would say in a lot of ways, it gave them kind of a bit of a maybe a bitterness towards church. My dad was helping out with some yard work and a pastor chewed him out and he kind of said, "Forget this," and went off to college and was doing his own thing there. And he was actually a junior at UC Berkeley, my father, when just a college pastor who played, got a group together and college students and played volleyball on Friday nights, roped my dad in and started hanging out with him and started to just build a relationship, and just through volleyball and this college pastor, my dad started to ask some questions, started to understand more of what the Christian faith was. And through that relationship, came to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and can unpack a little bit more what that means in a bit. But it was something that really transformed his life, and he in that college group that was young, vibrant. It was you know, it was in the late 60s. It was Berkeley. It was kind of the Jesus movement time. So there were a lot of kind of, for those that are familiar with it, there was kind of a lot of like grassroots spiritual awakening happening in that area. And for my dad, it ended up becoming just a young, new, exciting faith. And he shared his testimony with others in the group and was just kind of learning and growing. And basically for the first time, understanding that it was less about some sort of structural, dogmatic religion and more about a transformative relationship with Jesus Christ. And he was experiencing that transformation. Mm-hmm. And ironically, it was just about 6 months later that my mom was on a road trip with a good friend of hers who happened to be a distant cousin of my dad. And on that trip, my mom had remembered praying before the trip, "God, if you're real, show yourself to me." And on that trip, she met my dad. And, you know, normal first time conversation, not really, but she just, yeah, "What do you believe?" was the question she asked.
Oh, yeah, that's a normal first time conversation. And they just went right in.
Just right in, yeah. went deep quick, because my mom was just honestly searching. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's the classic verse of just, you know, "Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open." And my mm-hmm. mom was experiencing that. And so she asked my dad, and my dad had just shared his testimony with the college group. And these things were just really fresh, and him being able to articulate what Jesus had done and how it wasn't about just, you know, following the rules, but about all of us being sinful, all of us being broken, and Jesus being the Savior, God in the flesh, who paid the penalty for our sins on the cross so that we could experience forgiveness, we could experience new life. And that's what my dad was experiencing.
Oh my gosh.
And that's what my mom came to experience as well. And so when I describe the house that I grew up in, I can say, yes, it was a Christian family, but what I describe it more as is I grew up in a family that didn't just know about God, they trusted God. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge distinction there. We didn't just learn, okay, these are the verses, these are the truths. I got to see parents who believed that God would show up in our tough times, parents that prayed, parents that sought God for decisions that they were making, parents that enjoyed Jesus in their life and the fellowship that that brought in the church. And even the trust they had when things got hard with the church or with relationships. Mm-hmm. And so, and even my family growing up, we went through a time of real financial turmoil. My dad's in real estate. The market bottomed out in the late 80s. My family was in debt for about 12 years. And so that faith just took on kind of a new meaning of, hey, where does God show up in the high times? And where does mm-hmm. he show up in the valleys as well? So it was, like I said, it was a foundation that I got to experience where, like I said, it wasn't just lip service. It was real. Mm-hmm. And I saw it lived out.
And it wasn't all peaches and cream either, you know. And I think sometimes whenever we talk positively about I grew up in a Christian home, or even now that you're explaining, it wasn't just the lip service. This was real, real dependence on the Lord. For those who've never been in an environment like that, I think that, like you're kind of putting some flesh on this right now. It was genuinely depending, trusting the Lord in the hard times and in the good times, and how that modeled that for you as a child. So tell me about you and your personal journey. How did you transition from observing this with your parents and kind of being in a household where depending on God, leaning on the presence and power and provision of a holy God in your household is something that you observed, and then that becoming something that was personal to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for many people in their faith journey, I love the picture of just a child going from a baby to an infant, you know, from an infant to a toddler to, you know, we go through these stages of development. And for the baby, taking a step feels like a big deal. You mm-hmm. know, as an adult, that's like, okay, I take steps all the time. That's not a big deal. But there is a development, and that was definitely true too. So I can look back to when I'm young and certain things, I'm like, oh, that was significant, but in the big picture, maybe small, right? Mm-hmm. So some of the things of just growing up in the church, being involved in a youth group, I was blessed with a really great childhood in a lot of ways. I had some good church, like youth pastors that poured into me and some influences like that. But a lot of it was baby steps. A lot of it was just kind of, hey, I'm learning things that I'm not even aware that mm-hmm. I'm learning. And, you know, the real life is going to happen down the road. But there was a solid foundation there. And I had some experiences growing up where I you know, learned about We did a thing called like the 30-hour famine, where we learned about hunger and needs around the world, and had some service projects where I got to get out of sight of myself a little bit, mm-hmm. which was good. But all these, like I said, were kind of formative. And then probably one of the biggest formative things I could just mention was that financial hardship, mm-hmm. that just, all right, the tension's real. The stress is ramped up. It doesn't affect me as directly, but I see it affecting my parents, and mm-hmm. I see the stress in their life. And how do they cling to Jesus in the midst of the storm? So, but all of that was really kind of my experience within the family context. One of the things where I really saw change for me, though, was when I hit the college age mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. And that's where you start to step outside of the family context. That's where you start to take on things for yourself. And there were a few major things that were really really had an impact on me during that time. And I wouldn't say that they're normal, but I would say I was very fortunate in my journey to have those opportunities. And one of them, ironically, was because of our financial hardship, I had to go to community college. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the money to go away to college. And so I stayed home for my freshman and sophomore year. And it was during that time staying home that the high school youth pastor at my church offered myself and a friend a part-time job to lead the middle school program. Mm. And so that was my first experience with not just like being a follower of Jesus, mm-hmm. but in serving people in some form of ministry. And, you know, middle schoolers are squirrely and awesome. And I kind of learned through that, if you could be their friend, you could be their hero, just someone who's not their parents, who mm-hmm. comes alongside of them and enters into their life. And it was very part-time. It was very rudimentary. It was very rough in some ways. But I would say it was one of the most formative experiences of just having that opportunity to start to invest in people, come alongside people. My first experience is with sharing the word of God with others. And even though I had this ministry experience and I had this growing up in church experience, after my sophomore year and 2 years of doing middle school ministry, I went away to college down at UC Santa Barbara in the central coast of California. And once again, away from the family in a new world, what's going to happen now? And I think I was very fortunate with just God's hand and his leading, of just checking out some churches, finding a good one to get plugged into. But probably my third week on campus, I found a group called Campus Crusade for Christ. It was a college campus ministry. And I went to a weekly meeting, thought it was kind of cool, thought I'd go back, ended up going to like a fall retreat that they had and met a few people there. And, one thing led to another. And next thing I know, I'm going to a winter conference over Christmas break. Where I went down to San Diego for 4 days, and there were speakers and there was worship, kind of in a way I'd never experienced before. And then during that time, there was just a clear conviction that I was supposed to go on some sort of mission trip that summer, and mm-hmm. I didn't know what. Now, this is kind of fascinating, because even though I'd had all of this Christian experience growing up, mm-hmm. I'd never been on a mission trip. I'd never really shared my faith with another person in an intentional way. And I'd never experienced kind of a structured form of like discipleship. I had experienced like people kind of being around me and being a good influence on me and developing me, like, you know, in the middle school youth ministry position. But as God would have it, I ended up spending the summer between my junior and senior year of college on a mission trip in Ocean City, New Jersey. And so I spent 10 weeks at the beach, living at a beach house, and it was a crazy experience. There was 110 college students from around the country there and 40 Campus Crusade staff. And what made it unique was the structure of this whole thing. So these staff, they were like project directors. These staff were set up for discipling small groups. And so we had a summer of evangelism and discipleship, all things that were just new to me. And I was just kind of soaking this in. What is this? What does this mean? And so, yeah, we had our little group of six that roomed together and a staff guy that was pouring into us and showing us how to share our faith, where we'd go out on the boardwalk and talk to people about Jesus. In that summer, I probably shared my faith 100 times. What was probably most transformative, though, was halfway through the summer, 5 weeks in, the 40 staff left. Mm. And the second half of the summer was all led by college students. And so after me being discipled for the first time and sharing my faith for the first time, I was given the opportunity to be a small group leader who discipled young men and took them out to share their faith and develop them. So in literally a 5 week span, I went from doing this for the first time to showing others how to do it. And it was hands down one of the most formative experiences of my Christian life. And I would say to this day that sharing my faith with others is probably the one of the ways that I have grown the most in Jesus, simply because you know you're in over your head.
Yeah.
There's no amount of skill. There's no amount of equipping where you can be like, I can lead people to faith in Jesus. Like every single time you step out to do that, you're in over your head because you can't change someone's life for eternity, but God can. And so just as I said, I saw in my parents, they trusted Jesus. This was huge in forming my trust in Jesus. Because every time you're like, okay, it can't be my strength. My strength's not going to do it. You try it in your strength, you fall flat on your face. But just learning to surrender, learning to trust, learning to step out in faith, even when you don't feel like it. Some of the best experiences of sharing Jesus with people is just times where I'm like, I don't have it. I'm not up to it. I don't want to. And God shows up.
Yes, he does.
And so that was huge in my experience and just huge in a lot of ways. I remember just a night there. It was a Thursday night where we were together as a group and we were worshiping. And probably one of the most impactful times of experiencing the holiness of God. Just in a time of worship where I was just moved to tears, brought to my knees. Kind of like an Isaiah 6 moment where you're just so aware of how unworthy and unclean you are compared to a holy God. And it just broke me. And similar to Isaiah 6, it was kind of like a here I am, send me moment. God was preparing me to say, Greg, you're going to go into ministry. And I remember someone coming up to me and putting their hand on my back because I'm in tears. And they're like, it's going to be okay. And I was thinking to myself, you have no idea how okay it is. Like these tears aren't tears of sadness. They aren't tears of regret. God is just that awesome and amazing. And it's wonderful. And I left that summer knowing God was calling me into ministry. But I didn't know what that would look like or where the journey would take me.
Wow. That's really neat. I think a theme I'm hearing from your journey is how critically important it is for college students to draw near to the Lord and for college ministry to be present on college campuses to facilitate that process. Because it sounds like you were in this place where it's God was getting you ready, but if it hadn't been for those, you know, the community college student ministry guy reaching out to you, and then later the college ministry opportunities that you had whenever you went to the university, those were catalyst in your life to drawing you into a deeper and more, even more personal relationship with God, where you yourself were depending and surrendering to him in your endeavors. And that's what ultimately prepared your heart to be able to surrender to him for ministry, which of course is not easy. I mean, there's a lot of giving up of yourself to say yes to the Lord whenever he calls you into that space. Yeah. It can be very daunting and overwhelming. And I can say, I mean, for anyone listening who's never experienced that before, you know, whatever pastors or leaders you have in your life, anyone who you know that might be making an effort to follow the Lord in some form of ministry, even like what we're doing here with the podcast, I'm telling you, it is so scary. It is just like every single step of the way, I'm like, oh my gosh, God, I cannot do this. Please don't ask me to do that. And God's like, no, Jessica, you can do it. You know, like I'm here with you. So you can be strong and courageous because I am with you. And And I am just like, okay, you know, I'll do it. And I take the next step, you know, and it's scary. I have this like fluttering feeling in my mm-hmm. chest, but I just know that it's worth it. And I think, and I want people to hear truth. And so I think that that's something that I hear you saying with your story as well. So after going through all of that, now obviously you've lived a lot more life that we haven't, you mm-hmm. know, talked about here, but just big picture, what are the main characteristics of God that in your own personal journey you've seen kind of bubble to the top? You're like, man, you know, when I think of God, I think of these things first.
That's a great question. I think one of the first things that comes to my mind is just his faithfulness. In a faithfulness that is through, kind of like we said earlier, all seasons. And along with that, a characteristic that I love is the mystery of God. One of the things that makes God, God, and me not God, is that I can't simply just wrap my mind around God.
Amen. I love that. Yes.
And one of my favorite stories in scripture is the story of Habakkuk. Just three chapters, minor prophet in the Old Testament. And the prophet Habakkuk comes to God and cries out, like, what will you do to bring your people back to you? Your people are so far from you. We've gotten so off course. And God says, watch and be amazed. Look at this wonderful thing I'm going to do. You see those wicked, horrible Babylonians over there? They're going to come and destroy you. And that's my wonderful plan to bring you back to me. And then the prophet is kind of like understandably shocked and stunned. And it's kind of like, can you repeat that again?
Yeah.
Help me understand.
Right.
This doesn't make sense to my small mind. And God kind of reiterates it. And I think one of the most beautiful parts of that book is chapter 3, which is just a song of Habakkuk saying, though, even though the rain doesn't fall, even though the flower doesn't bloom, even though you are leading me into this desert, into this decimation, and your way does not make sense to me, I will trust you. And I think that is like one of the things that in all seasons of life that is just foundational for me. It's that I don't need to understand what God's doing. I don't need to know the bigger picture. I can rest in him. I can trust his goodness. I can trust his faithfulness. And part of that, even now in this season of life, you know, we're talking, you know, looking back, there's lots of seasons, lots of things that have brought me to where I am today. You know, right now I'm a husband and a father of three, two that are in middle school, one that's in elementary school. And it is not just the quiet, focused stillness with God. Mine is just focused on him.
Wait,
time.
What?
Yeah,
you don't have that?
There is so much just good chaos and craziness and energy and running from one thing to the next and kids that are verbal and have tons of questions. And I'm probably the most introverted in the family. I probably enjoy stillness and quiet the most in the family. And it's just not a season of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this settled tone of like, God's in the chaos, you know, like God's in the midst of that too. And so it's not just like, oh, I got to get away from all of that to find the Lord. I'm like, no, the Lord can meet me right here. And sometimes, like I said, it's not like that mountaintop spiritual retreat moment. But also in the midst of that, it's some of the greatest things I've ever got to experience and be a part of, like seeing, you know, just like someone passed off discipleship to me, I see my young kids learning what it means to take steps of faith on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I see my young kids starting to make that journey of their parents' faith to what does it look like mm-hmm. in their world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my oldest is 12. It's still young in a lot of ways. But at the same time, you know, and it's not like daddy boot camp. All right, we're doing this today. We're learning this. I'm teaching you this.
Right.
So much of it's just sharing life together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say that, you know, so much of the Christian life is caught, not taught. And I agree with that in a lot of ways. You look at the ministry of Jesus. He taught, absolutely. But so much of what his disciples learned was simply by following him, mm-hmm. being with him. And sometimes that was, you know, walking through the streets of Jerusalem. Sometimes that was in a countryside. Sometimes that was in the middle of a storm in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's become some of my favorite kind of just experiences with Jesus is just, I don't know where he's taking me today, but he's here
mm-hmm.
and he's real and he's good. And I can trust in that.
Yeah. I resonate with so many things that you've said and in my own personal life and my life as a parent. So I appreciate you sharing kind of the journey from your parents to you and now from you to your kids and mm-hmm. just how that evolves over time. But yet it's the same God. It's the same saving grace. It's the same faithfulness. It's the same trustworthiness that we can lean into him. So I'd love to talk for a minute about what, you know, here we are talking about this long kind of life tenure of faith and discovering God along the way and seeing God show up in your life. I would love to see what are ways we know that he pursues you because we've just heard a lot about mm-hmm. how he has pursued you over time. How do you pursue God? What does relationship, personal relationship with God look like for you? And what does that mean to you?
Mm. That's a great question. As I think about like how I experienced Jesus or how I've grown in Jesus, I actually did an exercise once where I wrote down like top 12 things that have grown me close to Jesus, right? And a lot of mine were more experiential. You know, there's lots of facets. Like, for example, I have a seminary degree, but that was honestly like 12th on the list. You know, learned a lot of amazing things. But a lot of my experience of God, I wouldn't say, yeah, classroom, that's where I really experienced Jesus. I think that it's in the day-to-day life, whether it's driving in the car, being in the shower, it's some of those moments of gratitude
mm-hmm.
of just like, God, you are who you say you are. These truths that I've read, that I've learned, that I've studied, they haven't changed about you. And then just like that gratitude for God, you're showing up. It's like even just in things like this year of just, man, my kids having good teachers and you're like, yeah, I know from other years, some years have been rough and there's been some ways that we've just bumped heads and I see my kids loving school and loving what they're experiencing and the grand scheme of things, that's a smaller thing, but it's another thing that just sparks gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Another way I see that is just, I experience God a lot just through my wife. And what's interesting is we have very different ways to connect with God. I connect with God mostly in stillness and silence, which like I said, for mm-hmm, the reasons it's mm-hmm. hard. Golf can help with that a little bit. you can be spiritual to be on a golf course
yeah.
and you just get that space to think and
right.
connect in beauty. But part of it is, yeah, my wife, God's blessed me with a wife who's very, very gifted and very different than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Tim Keller wrote a book on marriage. He said, what if marriage wasn't to make you happy, but to make you holy? And there's a lot of truth to that. There's mm-hmm. a lot of happiness there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it is great with like one of the biggest things with just being a spouse and being a dad is how much I've had to learn to die to myself.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, on my list of 12 things, I think I put family number 3 mm-hmm. on the list mm-hmm. of like all time, what has grown me in my relationship with Jesus. And it's just this reality that I don't live for me anymore. And going back to my single days, and I was single into my early 30s. It was a lot of me. There was mm-hmm. ministry and there was serving Jesus, but I could do it in my framework and my time frame and the way that I think and the way that I operate. And so one of the things that continues just to be huge and refining, but also stabilizing is just, yeah, the family that God's given me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is like, they're the ones that I'm most excited to experience life with.
Mm-hmm.
I see God at work in them. There's this closeness, there's this inner circle that's just, you know, something that has been building and growing. And, you know, when kids are babies, you don't get much back.
Mm-hmm.
And now with middle schoolers, it's like, wow, it's like I'm experiencing Jesus through them. Conviction too. They call me out on stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think with family and relationship, you see yourself in a mirror. Mm-hmm. And so, and then that just exposes things that maybe you wouldn't have seen otherwise, but it's good and it's healthy. And at the end of the day, you're better because of it. And it's also just this mutually, you know, beneficial and symbiotic relationship where they're experiencing the same thing in relationship with you. And so it is very incredible how we can experience that refining process of being in relationship with God while we're also in relationship with other people. Well, Greg, this has been such a great opportunity. I feel like I got this very incredible. I don't know. It felt like a wave just moving through your life where I got to see this journey that you've been on. And I really have enjoyed hearing how God's hand has just been over your life and in your life and showing how he's been showing himself to you over time. As we close, any final thoughts, any words of advice for those listening, especially if maybe they're struggling to connect with God right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the things, you know, that I get to do here in the church is host the online service. And one of my favorite things to say, you know, here at Brick Community Church, our mission is to know Jesus and make him known. And that sounds like a big thing. It is a big thing. It's a great calling. It's a great purpose. And I love being a communications pastor at a church because I believe that Christians have the greatest message in the world, mm-hmm. the message of Jesus Christ. But the cool part about that message, too, is that all there is to do is to take the next step. Mm-hmm. There's this big picture. There's this big journey. There's a big God who's done so much, but really he just calls us to follow him. And that mm-hmm. involves just taking the next step, whatever that may be. And so my encouragement is no matter where you are spiritually, whether you are unsure, whether you feel stuck, whether you're discouraged, whether you're riding the mountaintop, the question is, yeah, what next step is God calling you to take? And that can be discerned through prayer. It can be, God, I don't know who you are, but show yourself to me, like my mom prayed. That can be reaching out to someone who might be able to come alongside you and show you some steps along the way. But I think that for me, yeah, knowing just how many different seasons there are, knowing that there's the mountaintops, there's the valleys, knowing that sometimes the valleys last longer than you want them to, knowing very well, too, we didn't get into this, but man, I'll be the first to admit, I've lived enough life to know how ugly I can be, too. Mm-hmm. I'm still steeped in sin. Mm-hmm. I've got that nature, but I've got a Savior who covered it. And so learning to live in him, walk in him, let him be the one that refines and redeems. The message I love sharing with college students is, yeah, the weight's not on your shoulders. Jesus Christ did it for you. Trust him. Follow him. Take that next step.
Amazing. Just one step. Take that away from this conversation today. That's all it takes. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.